Good morning, everybody. I'm on, yes. That was kind of weird, huh? We read this passage on sex, and then, hey, greet someone. Sorry about that. I don't know if we planned that real well. Sounded good on paper. Before we get going, I have, Landon, would you stand up? Landon, come on. Look at this guy's mustache. Gosh, I just made my day this morning. When he walked in, it's like, man, that is good. So good. He said he promised his wife would be gone by Valentine's Day. So, I don't know, though. I think I'd keep it. Some quick announcements, just a couple things. One, probably 2 weeks to be in that side of the building. I know we said it was going to be this Sunday. Sorry, it isn't. So probably 2 weeks out, and that's pretty realistic. Hopefully, if everything goes right, we'll be over there, which will be really cool and exciting. Dave mentioned it last week. If you're looking for some connection points, or if you want to be leading some kind of a connection point, we're trying to make the website a good place of communicating that to you. So if you are interested in anything, really, bike club, Bible study, let me know, and we'll get it up on the website. And if you're interested in doing those kinds of things, go read the website on the calendar, and you can find them. And we've recently added a new part to the website under Give, kind of focus on, a lot of times as a church, is giving to ourselves, which is great. There are a lot of needs here. We want to also just provide an opportunity to give outside of this community. And this week, somebody from Catholic Charity Services wrote me an email saying they need drivers, and there's people who can't get to the doctor or just trying to do simple things in this city who can't get there because of certain situations in their life, and they need people to drive them around. And I thought, well, we could take this to the team and talk about it and try to put it. And I said, let's just announce it and say, hey, if you're moved to be a driver, go check out our website. Information is there. And if you have other ways for people to volunteer to give outside of this community, again, let me know, and we'll try to get them on the website and hopefully make that a place that's you can check frequently and find lots of good, valuable, meaningful information. All right? So those are the announcements. As you probably have figured out, this morning is kind of a fun passage again for Valentine's Day weekend, like we said. So I'd like to pray again, and we'll get into it. God, I pray that we would all be listening. It's easy to tune out sometimes to these kinds of topics. We say, oh, well, I'm married, doesn't apply to me, or, oh, well, I'm not dating, doesn't apply to me, or this or that doesn't apply to me, I don't need this one. God, I pray that we are all challenged with how we need this message from you. And I pray that it would be from you, that your truth would be spoken, not my ideas, and that you would get me out of the way and let us hear what you have to say to us this morning. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So there's something you start to notice in this world, I would say, and that is that for everything that has the potential for good, you know, for restoration, for healing, for light, for whatever word you want to use for good, most of those things also have a potential for bad, for evil, for darkness, for destruction, for, again, whatever word you want to use for evil, bad, darkness. So you start to realize, man, for everything that has potential for good, it also has potential for bad. And maybe for some of you who are into physics, you think of Newton's famous quote, to every action there's an equal and opposite reaction, right? Or the forces of two bodies on each other are always equal and are directed in opposite directions. So this is a law of physics, and I say we can take this kind of law and apply it to the larger scale of life. Because in addition for everything to have the potential for good, it seems like that whatever its potential is for good, whether it's small or large, it has an equal potential for evil, whether it be small or large. Okay, so here are some examples. A box of chocolates with hearts on them for Valentine's Day weekend, right? Now, a box of chocolates has potential for good. I can give this to my wife for Valentine's Day, and she would be so moved, because no one ever gives a box of chocolates for Valentine's Day. And she would say, "Oh, Ryan, your love for me is so evident now. Thank you." And I would say, "Yes, it is, honey. I bought this for you special for Valentine's Day." So, okay, I have some potential for good. Potential for evil, I could tear into this right now and eat the entire box of chocolates. Maybe gain some weight, maybe damage my heart, I don't know. But we kind of say, okay, potential for good, potential for evil, yeah, but really, on the grand scheme of life, pretty small, right? I mean, really not going to do a lot of good or evil. So we kind of put it over there. Bottle of wine. Stepping it up a little bit here. Okay, you in the back, here we go. Bottle of wine. A lot of potential for good, right? Some of you are saying, nope, never. Okay? I might argue a little bit, hey, you know, relaxing, good for conversation, a lot of studies, good for the heart, good for the body. We use wine in one of our foundational rituals of communion. So a lot of good potential for wine. And on the same side, the bad potential for wine is obvious. We know it, right? I mean, there's all kinds of abuses of wine. Potential for evil. So a little maybe up the scale from the box of chocolates is a bottle of wine. Okay? The iPhone just came out on Verizon this week. Anybody get one on Verizon this week? Nobody? Okay? Okay? Amazing potential for good right here. I mean, this thing saves me all the time. Calendar, email, it's got it all right here in my pocket. It makes my life so productive. I can do anything with the iPhone. Almost. And then at the same time, oh yeah, email, calendar, texting, always in my pocket, and I hate it. And it distracts me from doing anything productive because I'm looking at my iPhone. Ooh, let me check out this. Ooh, a new app. There's actually work to be done right here, or family right here, or faith right here. And well, I've got the iPhone, though, a little bit distracted today. Okay, so kind of upping the scale a little bit even more to the iPhone. No one steal it, okay? Now, we usually say with most of these things that the bad comes from an abuse of the good, right? So it's got good potential, but you can take this good potential and flip it and make it bad because we abuse it. So we come up with all things in moderation, and we need to just lay low here on these things. And that's true to a large degree. But then you go into some other sectors like biology, right? Biology, we take stuff into a lab, and we manipulate natural compounds, and we come up with incredible medicines that literally heal people, literally save lives. And we can go into that same lab, mess around with natural compounds, and come up with stuff that literally kills everyone on the planet multiple times over. A very torturous death. Like, wow, okay. That's some pretty big potential for good or evil. And this goes on and on. Technology, politics, I mean, we get the idea. Okay, Ryan, I get it. Everything's potential for good, potential for evil. Well, there's one more thing kind of on this list, I would say. And it's funny that this thing isn't always talked about. I was with Katie this week. We were trying to come up with some songs and some poems or some readings that would talk about this thing. And in the church, it's like, wow, there's really not much of anything that talks about this thing way over here, which I would call the human body. The body. Everyone has one, right? Some of you love yours a little too much. Some of you don't love yours enough, maybe. I don't know. But we all have a human body. Now, we can make the human body come over here really easy by just saying, well, its potential for good and bad is kind of like a box of chocolates. I mean, you know, it can do some good things. It can do some bad things. That's one way to do it. There's another way to make the value of the human body pretty low, kind of over here with the box of chocolates. And if you know anything about history of religion, you know that religion and the human body, especially the sexual human body, have not always gotten along very well. If you go back to the Gnostics believed that basically the entire physical world was evil. So that would include the physical body. It was evil. Nothing good about it. And you could say that there were some ripples of that throughout Christian tradition. If you look at the early church fathers, really fun some of the quotes you find. Here's one of them. To such a spiritual man, after conception, his wife is as a sister and is treated as if of the same father. Okay. So basically, after conception, you treat your wife like a sister. Justin Martyr said this, if we marry, it is only so that we may bring up children. Now again, for those of you who really hearken back to the days of the early church, be careful what you wish for. Okay? I mean, the idea was the marriage sexual encounter was only for procreation, nothing else. It was evil. And you can read church father after church father who said this. You go on to Augustine, and he kind of struggled with this separation of the soul and the body, and you can read his writings of, I'm not sure if the body is ever good and the soul's where we need to focus. And these ripples of that kind of continued on. We become so focused on the soul, on the heart, that we forget that the body is this connection to the soul in a very kind of mysterious way. And so I would say that only talking about one side of the good or evil equation just puts it over here on the scale. It's like, yeah, if you're only going to talk about evil of the body, then that devalues it. It does it a disservice because there's something else incredible here. So the world, I would say, they see the church throughout history often talking about the evils of the body, and they reacted. And you can read throughout history, and you go back to the 60s, everyone knows the sexual revolution, and the world said, hey, yeah, enough talking of evil of the body. We're going to talk about the greatness of the body and how awesome it is, and we're going to make love, not war. And if it feels good, do it, because the body is amazing, and it's awesome, and it's good, and it brings you joy, and da-da-da-da. And I would say, actually, they're pretty true on a lot of those things, said some good things. But they did the same disservice, because it was only talking about the good. And when you only talk about one side of the equation, to me, it just kind of devalues it and puts it back over to here. So where are we at now? Well, I meet with all kinds of counselors. That sounded really bad. I have met with counselors just to have conversations. I've met with a lot of pastors. And a lot of things I hear this very often. You know, the church does a horrible job of talking about sex. Church just isn't doing it. And my first response is, well, what are we supposed to do? I mean, what do you want us to talk about? Because what I see, I mean, I see the church talking about sex a lot, and they have these huge billboards with, you know, 4 feet coming out of the sheets, and it's like, have sex the way God wanted you to, or whatever, some kind of hip advertising marketing campaign of good sex, it's in the church. And, you know, I see the church talking about it a lot, and I'm just not sure that's really doing it for me. I mean, is that what we're talking about? Is that what you want? Because talking about it more, I'm not sure that actually solves any problems. Rob Bell has this great quote. He talks about the culture we live in. He says, we're a culture that shows it, films it, examines it, comments on it, analyzes it, and then we wonder why everyone has lost interest in it. I love that. Shows it, films it, examines it, comments on it, analyzes it, and then we wonder why everyone has lost interest in it, and it being the true, the real, the mysterious, this crazy thing. So I don't know what the problem is, but I can tell you this. The Christian message for the body is way, way, way over here, off the charts. The potential for good, the potential for evil is way over here. And there's some great things about that, potential for good, and there's some scary things about it, potential for evil. And I think that's the message Paul is saying today in his letter to this church in Corinth. And on Corinth, we've talked about it before, the city with this temple to Aphrodite. If you read about Corinth, there's a lot of debate on what it actually was, but most historians tend to agree that this city was incredibly sexual. It's described as a place where the ships would come in. It was a port city. And you have sailors coming onto the docks where there were prostitutes lining the docks. You have this giant temple on a hill of Aphrodite filled with prostitutes where people would go, have sex, and donate money to the temple. It was a rich city. It was wealthy, as we've said before. And most of that money came from prostitution and the sex trade. So you're talking about this incredibly sexual city. This city that's bombarded with images of body, of sex, of making the body, I would say, less valuable. Moving it over here, examining it, analyzing it, all of those things, and forgetting this mysterious, incredible power. It's a great quote. It says, "Not for every man is the voyage to Corinth." Not for every man is the voyage to Corinth. Be careful when you go there. So that is the group of people. That is the atmosphere that Paul is writing this letter to. And as Annie read it, we'll read it again quickly. Verse 12, chapter 6. If you want to turn your Bible or Kyle, your iPad, iPhone, Verizon iPhone, whatever it is. See, use it for good. Good potential. It has the Bible on it. Here we go. "I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." So I read this, and there's three things that stand out to me. Paul says three times, "Do you not know?" Do you not know? Hey, pay attention to this one. Remember this one. Everyone, pay attention. Three times, "Do you not know?" And the first one is, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself?" And again, this great use of Paul. He's always "are." Not "will be," not "can be," they are. Your body is a part of the body of Christ. Now, if you want to talk about kind of moving the value of the body where it is on this scale, I mean, Paul's going, okay, whoop, way over here. Part of Christ. We've been talking in Corinthians about Paul saying the center of this, the center of our community is Jesus. That is who at the center. That is what matters. That's this thing that we all build our diversity around. And our bodies, not our soul, not our mind, the Greek word's very specific, our bodies are a part of Christ's body. Now, that has all kinds of implications, but again, the first one is it pulls it way over from a box of chocolates. Paul talks in verse 13 about this argument of the Corinthians were saying, oh, you know, food is for the body, food is for the stomach, God's going to destroy them both, and kind of this idea of, well, food isn't that big a deal. It can't do that much harm. It can't do that much good. I mean, God's going to destroy these things. Not that big a deal. And I would imagine the Corinthians were saying the same thing in regard to sex. Yeah, the body, I mean, not that big a deal. Can't do that much harm. Can't do that much great. And Paul's saying, no, your body is a part of Christ. And he comes in with this amazing statement, your body is made for the Lord, and the Lord is made for your body. I mean, just think about that one. God is made for your body. That's an interesting statement. So the body has this outstanding capability, this outstanding potential for good, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, right? To be a part of this redemptive, restorative, healing, beautiful message of Jesus. Teresa of Avila has this poem. I wanted to read it this morning. This is how it goes. Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks, compassion on this world. Yours are the feet which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks, compassion on this world. Christ has no body now but yours. And you kind of read this and it's, oh, this is beautiful. This is amazing. Verse 15, kind of in this nice place. Paul, are you going to take this and unite it with a prostitute? Oh, wow. Wait, I mean, Paul's saying, you realize this amazing potential, this amazing power for good. Are you going to take this thing and just unite it with a prostitute? Because Paul goes on with his second, do you not know? Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? Another one of those powerful statements. The word one. We kind of throw this word around a lot. One. It's amazing. This idea of being so connected with someone. So one with someone in a relationship that you can rest and relax and be comfortable with another person. And this incredible idea of becoming one. The Hebrew word to have sex was simply to know. And you get this idea that this sexual thing that the body can do has this amazing capability to be known. Incredibly powerful, beautiful. And this thing that we all crave, really. I mean, we crave to be known. We as human beings want to be known like that. To access these deeper parts through this physical act. We want it. And it's amazing and beautiful and powerful, but to just focus on the good would do it a disservice. And so Paul reminds us, yes, this idea of one, it can be incredible. It can also be really, really ugly. The New American Standard translates it this way. Should I take the members of Christ, should I take the body of Christ, and make them the body of a prostitute? This power of this knowing has the ability to make us something different, if you really think about it. And that's pretty terrifying. This power of being known in this way has this incredible power to make us something different. To the Jews, this power of being known, this power of human sexuality was nothing trivial. It was sacred. It was serious. If you read the Levitical laws, some of them are pretty weird. But there's always this underlying comment of this thing of human sexuality, this thing of being known in this way is incredibly, incredibly serious. It's incredibly, incredibly powerful. If you look at the Jewish marriage ceremonies, they were built around the couple consummating in a tent while everyone was outside, and then the party began. I mean, again, the whole marriage was this act. This act was marriage. This matter of being known in this way was marriage. And you can imagine being raised in a culture like this. I was talking to my wife about it. Like, man, I wish we had a little more of this culture. Kids going to wedding celebrations and seeing this celebration of, oh, this is the thing. I mean, someday I'll be able to be here and people will be celebrating this idea of being known in this way. And man, you do not mess around with being known in this way. Because this power of being known in this way is incredibly beautiful when it's with someone you want to grow with. This power of being known is incredibly beautiful when it's with someone you want to grow with. But this power of being known is incredibly ugly when it's with someone you want to forget. And that's the bad side of it. It's incredibly beautiful when it's with someone I want to grow with. And oh man, is it ugly when it's with someone I want to forget. Because this kind of being known, this intertwined soul, deep, mysterious being known does not just vanish overnight. And that's what makes it so good. and so scary. So Paul goes on, flee from sexual immorality, please. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Flee, disappear quickly, escape, avoid pornography, lust, objectification, fill in whatever it is. This is way bigger than just an affair, something we all deal with. Flee, disappear quickly. There's a lot of statements in the Bible. You kind of read them and you go, well, yeah, I'm going to have to really convince people of this one or convince myself. I don't know. Not this one. If you're not convinced there's something different about sexual sin, go talk to people. I mean, this statement, I read it and I grieve because I go, man, is that true? I've talked to too many people carrying around this baggage of sexual decisions that they didn't want to make, and it's there, and it hurts, and it's something different than everything else. And I grieve because not only of the damage, but because, man, the amazing potential for good, though. Man, if only we were just able to grab the good and run from the bad of it. Paul says one final thing. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? And again, Paul, you are, not you can be, not you will be if you do these things. You are, your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And this temple analogy, again, it's one of those we read, not a lot of temples around today that we go to. And so a temple thing. But again, imagine the city of Corinth, this temple on a hill. This temple to Aphrodite, beautiful temple, built on human sexuality. People coming, paying for a prostitute, and then giving their money to the temple for more money. And so you have this idea of your temple is here. And the Jews had amazing ideas of the temple. It was a serious, sacred, spiritual place. You don't approach the temple lightly. This is serious stuff that's about to happen. And Paul makes this incredible analogy of your bodies are this thing. Your bodies are serious. Your bodies are sacred. Your bodies are spiritual. And the actions that they can do are powerful. Do not approach it lightly. And again, it's Paul reminding you of what your body is. Not what it can be. Not what we really have got to strive for. Your body is a temple of God. God is there already. Now just honor him. Honor God in this temple. Remember this. It's moving. Paul makes one last statement. He actually says it at the beginning, but I think it kind of covers this whole thing. I have the right to do anything, you say. You're right. You have the right to do anything. But not everything is beneficial. And this word beneficial, I love it. It's got so many kind of synonyms with it, but one of them is to gather together. Everything kind of being in the right place. First thing I thought of is our family's been skiing a lot lately. Got into it this year. And it's been one of the best things for our family. But one of those, I always have those moments almost every time on the hill where we're all together. We're all riding the chair. We're all going down a hill and all five of us are there. And you just kind of get this, oh man, this is so right. This just feels so good. We're all here. It's all working. This is beautiful. And that's the idea of this beneficial. It's all here. It's all working. It's advantageous. It's profitable. I mean, is the way you're treating the body, your body, right, profitable, advantageous? Is it where you say, oh yeah, it's all just coming together. This is just, yeah. I was just talking to a student this week, and the student was telling me, yeah, I'm in this cycle every weekend. Saturday night comes around, everyone's going to the party. I say, well, yeah, I guess I'll go, but I'm gonna step away from this thing or that thing, and I'm just going to go, and I'll be able to handle it, and I go to the party, and then the beers start flowing, and I have a couple, and I was, well, I'll just stick it to, and then I have a couple more, and then it leads me to something where I've done something I don't want to do, and I wake up Sunday morning, and I'm regret and shame. And I say to myself, oh, here come the consequences. I've been here before. Here they come. They're going to start coming. I've got to deal with them. And I deal with them again, and I feel terrible about myself. And I say, I'm not going to do it next weekend. And Saturday rolls around, and I do it the same thing. And I'm stuck in this cycle, and I can't get out of it. And I don't even know what to do. I don't want to tell my friends because then I'll be the person who doesn't go to the parties. And I just don't even know what to do, but it's not working. It's not working at all. We had a conversation, and you know, I don't think it's working for any of them. But no one wants to admit it, so we all just keep doing it. MTV had this incredible survey. It was a couple years ago, but I'm still blown away by it. It was an MTV survey, the AP, nothing religious about it. 13 to 24-year-olds, the vast majority of them said that sex in the long term makes them less happy. I mean, it makes us less happy. And yet we just keep acting as though it doesn't. Just keep acting as though it's great. Yeah, I mean, there's no harm from it. And we just keep repeating this lie over and over, and all of us buy into it. And I just go, why? Why? What are we not doing right? When you talk to people, it's not working. It's not all coming together. It's not profitable. It's not advantageous. It's not beneficial. And yet Saturday rolls around and I do it again. Why? I don't know. But sometimes I think it's because we think the body is over here. Box of chocolates. Yeah. Can do some good things with it. Yeah. Make me feel good for a little bit, have a little chocolate taste in my mouth. No big deal. The harm? Oh, yeah. I mean, worst thing, I eat 10 of them, feel a little sick. No big deal. Not that big a deal. That's where the body is. We forget. Oh, no, no, no. No, the body's way, way, way over there. The potential for beauty and good and light and restoration and healing is off the charts amazing. But that also means the potential for damage is right there with it. I mean, this is serious business with what we do with our body. So, it's Valentine's Day weekend. I don't know what that means for you. I don't even want to know. But I just ask this. Remember three things about your body. Not your soul, not your heart, not your mind, not your feelings, emotions, your body. It's a part of Christ. It is. Right now. It is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It is right now. And it does want to be known in an amazing, beautiful, powerful way with someone you want to grow with. Because that is amazing potential for good. And every one of those has a flip side, which we should be very scared of. Let's pray. God, it's another one of those weird topics, if we're honest. Sex, sexuality. We're in a culture bombarded with it, with messages of, I don't know what, every kind of message, God. But at the core, I believe those messages are just, it's not that big a deal one way or the other. Lord, let us be reminded that it is. It's a huge deal what we do with this body. And Lord, whether we're married, whether we're single, whether we're dating, whether we're anywhere in between, God, we have this body that you have given us. May we remember that this body is part of Jesus. That we have this amazing potential to be Jesus on this earth. This amazing potential to bring healing and restoration and redemption and beauty to people around us. May we remember that we are a temple, a sacred, spiritual, serious place where you dwell. May we remember this body has the amazing capability to be known with another in an amazing way, unlike any other thing. Lord, may we celebrate those things about the body. And may we be afraid of the flip side. May we be afraid of the amazing potential for ugliness and harm and damage that treating the body in the wrong way can bring about. Lord, I see too much of it. I hate it. Such potential for good, and so many of us are living in that dark side. Lord, give us the ability to heal from it. Redeem us. There are some here who are living with those choices right now, and Lord, we don't want to dwell on those in shame or guilt. We want to be healed. We ask you for that amazing power to heal and to go from here with a different mindset, that we are members of Jesus, that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, and that we want to value this idea of being known in a sacred, spiritual way and not throw it around loosely. We love you and we thank you for a body. We don't thank you enough for that amazing creation of a body. Thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.